I'm Stephanie Wilson, and you're listening to Freedom Over Fascism.
Individuals donated $10,000 or more to Mike Braun's campaign just since he announced his governor's campaign late last year, and this is through the June reporting period.
Hi, friends. What an election last week. I won't list all the wins, but here are some of the most impressive and important. In Virginia, Democrats held the Senate and flipped the House of Delegates. Our most recent guest, Center for Common Ground's Andrea Miller, played a significant role organizing for those wins. With Democrats in control over the State House, fascist MAGA Governor Glenn Youngkin has a check on his power. This podcast's very first guest ever, David Pepper, helped lead the Ohio campaign where voters passed a ballot measure to protect abortion rights. In Indiana, not only did the mayors of Indianapolis and South Bend win re-election, this podcast's second ever guest, 23-year-old Nick Roberts, became the youngest person to win a seat on the Indianapolis City Council. In Terre Haute, Brandon Sackbun, a 27-year-old veteran, beat the 16-year incumbent to become the state's youngest mayor ever. And in Evansville, Stephanie Terry, a Black woman, beat a Republican incumbent to become the first woman and first Black person to become mayor in Evansville. In Kentucky, Governor Andy Beshear won re-election, and pro-democracy candidates won school board races all over the country. These were great wins. Now it's time to keep up the hard work through the 2024 election, when freedom and democracy are once again at stake throughout the country. Four times indicted, two times impeached, former President Donald Trump has vowed to weaponize the government against political opponents and round up immigrants to put them in camps if he wins. One of the biggest things we'll be up against everywhere in 2024 is the massive funding advantage MAGA Republicans have, especially in MAGA-captured states like Indiana. So let's talk about who funds MAGA candidates and ideas. For today's conversation, I talked to Scott Aaron Rogers, an independent Indiana activist who researches campaign contributions to MAGA politicians. He's done a lot of research about the CEOs in various industries who give large amounts of money directly to candidates, like Indiana MAGA candidate for governor Mike Braun. These direct contributions are only a fraction of the money that supports MAGA politicians to elect them, to enrich them, and often to bribe them, to enact or judge policies that make the very rich even richer. MAGA's billionaire-funded campaigns, authoritarian think tanks, and lawyers' organizations have funded the MAGA GOP's journey into fascism at every level. Today, Scott and I discuss the outer ring of that web. CEOs of local and national companies fund MAGA Republicans directly and indirectly via super PACs. These funders support politicians who enrich them, enrich their companies, and enrich their industries. They pit groups of Americans against each other, so we won't notice that billionaires are growing richer and more powerful every day. At the center of the web of money supporting MAGA politicians and organizations, we find individuals such as Leonard Leo, head of the Federalist Society, and Harlan Crow, a real estate developer with a fondness for Nazi memorabilia. Leo's organization chooses far-right judges that MAGA politicians nominate for the federal and state benches. And Harlan Crow is best known recently for the millions he's given to Clarence Thomas and other Supreme Court justices in cash and vacations to bribe them to rule favorably on cases he cares about. And we can't forget the NRA, which is funded by Russia. The NRA supports MAGA candidates and elected officials in the attempt to wage a war against Americans, remove or block common sense gun legislation, and flood the streets with firearms. As you listen to my conversation with Scott, you'll hear about some of the donors to the Indiana gubernatorial candidate Mike Braun. I hope this helps you put those donations into the context of the vast right-wing funding mechanisms behind the fascist candidates of the MAGA GOP. Before we start our conversation, I ask for your help supporting this podcast. You can become a paid subscriber at HoosierVictoryAlliance.substack.com or a patron at www.patreon.com/freedomoverfascism. And please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. Now for my conversation with Scott Aaron Rogers. Hi, Scott. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. For the listeners out there, I was on Scott's podcast, Who's Left, a little while back. And so I want to welcome you to mine. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners in case they don't know you yet and tell them about what you're doing and your activism in Indiana?
My name is Scott Aaron Rogers. I am a Bloomington resident, lifelong Hoosier. I grew up in Northwest Indiana, but I've been down here for about 25 years now. I am a dad to two kids, and by night I write and research about creeping authoritarianism.
Creeping authoritarianism. We have not heard a thing about that. That's very new to us here at Freedom Over Fascism. Yeah. Yes. So recently, you have written about funding sources for MAGA Republicans in Indiana, which of course fits into the larger picture of who's funding MAGA and what are they getting for their money. Can you tell us a little bit about the research that you've done recently and how you think it fits into what's going on in the state and around the country?
I'd say earlier this summer, I guess, I started researching campaign finance contributions to, in addition to the Senate race, but also the governor's races, statewide races in general. And I've been spending most of my time on Mike Braun's big donors because there are so many of them. 80 individuals donated $10,000 or more to Mike Braun's campaign just since he announced his governor's campaign late last year. And this is through the June reporting period. And he raised something like $2.2 million in that period, which is more than any candidate has raised for governor in any state's history, I believe.
Wow. So that's a lot of big donations. He's not getting that from the grassroots. Who's donating to him?
So I generally like to divide this into several groups. There are big manufacturing businesses, particularly the RV industry up in the South Bend, Mishawaka, Elkhart area. But additionally, real estate developers, a lot of real estate developers, agriculture, big farms, not little family farms, big agribusinesses, finance, banking, the usual suspects.
And those are all Indiana residents, or are those from people throughout the country?
You get some throughout the country, but for the most part, these are Indiana people or former Indiana people who have since retired to warmer climates.
So we've got CEOs and manufacturing, and we know that there's been some big changes over the past, say, 30 years where CEO pay has gone up 1,460% since 1978, while typical worker pay grew by 18%. So we know that the pay of CEOs is going up while the regular worker pay isn't. And we know that, you know, mostly these CEOs are not pro-worker and there are a lot of strikes going on. So what are they looking for from Mike Braun?
Well, Indiana is a quote-unquote right-to-work state. Meaning it's exceptionally hard to form a union here. And one would suspect that employers like that are looking to keep Indiana a right-to-work state and make it even harder to form a union here.
And to our listeners, you don't actually need to use their terminology. We can call it an anti-union state. We can use our terminology when we want. So they want to keep Indiana pretty good to executives and not so great for workers. Do you get a sense of how that will play out in the race for governor in the coming year?
Well, on the Republican side, you've got a very expensive, crowded field. In addition to Braun, Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch is running. She had quite a fundraising haul herself, as did Fort Wayne businessman Eric Doden. I don't have any good reporting data on either Curtis Hill or Brad Chambers yet. It seems that Republican primaries for just about any race have been a race to the bottom the last several cycles.
So what is your sense as an activist that other people in Indiana and other MAGA captured states can do to either fight for the big offices or try to claw back some power for democracy elsewhere in the state?
So in Indiana, we really just need to talk to our friends and family and neighbors and get everybody you know and overwhelm MAGA with numbers.
So basically, it's us versus the couch mostly, right? Because MAGA people are going to vote for MAGA. Mm-hmm. And we know that there really aren't very many undecided voters anymore. Their decision is whether they're going to get registered and go out to vote. And we know that also that that's not an easy decision for a lot of people who are suppressed in their ability to get to the polls. Indiana doesn't have great options for early voting or absentee voting.
Just another way the state's rigged. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things that we're doing that our listeners have heard a lot about is working to raise money to join the Every State Blue organization, which then raises money to support candidates running for state legislator in every district. We gave up so many seats last cycle and the ones before it, just letting the Republicans run unopposed. And a lot of those people who run unopposed are among the most extreme because they don't have anybody in their district who are really holding them accountable. So we see it as, if we can convince and support people to run, Democrats to run everywhere, then people in super red areas who've never had an option to vote for anybody but a Republican now then can have an option. And if we can understand that the goal for any campaign is not necessarily to win, but it's to garner the most votes possible. There's a blue Missouri, which was the first one, a blue Ohio, a blue Texas, and Tennessee's working on it, and we're working on it. And there's forgotten Democrats where they're working on funding Democrats in unopposed Republican districts all across the country, not necessarily in MAGA states. So we're hoping that the more that we can ask people who've never been asked for their vote, the more we can start winning the battle against the couch. And while that might not be a win in that particular district, if it's super red, it's still gaining votes that people running for statewide office will benefit from. And particularly, you know, Senate, U.S. House of Representatives, and governor, and the other races. Rokita's going to be up for election next cycle. So,
oh, that man is terrible. Don't get me started on him. No, no, I will. I'm sure I'll have to get to Rokita at some point. But yeah, right now we still got to sort through all of the big governor donors. Yeah.
Right. When you've gone through all of the Rokita donors, come back and tell us, because clearly that person is answering to somebody.
Well, we're going to suspect that a lot of the donors are the same people, or at least from the same industries.
Right. And I'm curious. So I worked for Heidi Beidinger last cycle, who was running for House District 5, and her opponent, Dale Devon, was almost entirely funded by Americans for Prosperity, the Koch organization. Every mailer he put out was funded by Americans for Prosperity. He didn't do, as far as we could tell, any fundraisers. He didn't talk to any voters. He didn't There was no campaigning. He had yard signs and five mailers and managed to get all of the Republican voters who had voted in previous cycles out, whereas Democrats who had voted in previous cycles stayed home. So we figure that there are a lot of reasons for that, but some of them are the fact that gerrymandering and voter suppression works.
Yes.
Which is to say that when you think that your voice doesn't matter, you think, well, why should I even bother trying? Which is the whole point of MAGA's bid to make their policies crazy extreme, use that supermajority for ill, and to continue to rig the state as much as possible.
Yeah, and then I'll just repeat that Indiana is rigged just, you know, as bad as just about anywhere. And it's very easy to lose hope. Our voter turnout the last dozen years maybe reflects that. But the consequences are just so overwhelmingly apparent now in the post-Dobbs and post-January 6th world. Hopelessness is just not an option. We have to grab the next person and say, come on with me. We have to do this.
Right. So if you were to suggest to people how they could get involved to either register voters or, you know, if they're younger, maybe work with some friends and get younger voters involved. Do you have any suggestions for our listeners?
Honestly, Stephanie, I have no idea what I'm doing myself.
Fair.
I'm a dad with a busy schedule and not a lot of time, and I say to myself, okay, what can I do? What are my strengths? You know, I'm really good with a spreadsheet, and I can write a decent essay. So everybody will know themselves best. Maybe you're not a door knocker. It can be intimidating. That's fine. Maybe you're a letter writer. Maybe you're a text banker. There's something, and we need everyone.
And I think for those of you out there who think that you don't have any skills or any time, there are lots and lots of ways. As Scott said, you don't have to go knock on doors if that's not your thing, but you can text, you can phone, you can get your friends together and raise some money, have a barbecue, ask people to just put in some money to the kitty and then, you know, donate it to an organization that's working for democracy in town. And that goes for every state that people are in. So 30 to 40% of our listeners live in Indiana. And after that, the biggest state is California. Hmm. Now, I grew up in California. It could be my family. That is always a possibility.
Stephanie Wilson fan club. Yeah.
But it's also a very, very, very big state. And so anywhere you are, you can, you know, if you're a blue state like California or Massachusetts, you can adopt a red state, or you can look at the places in your area where there have been unopposed seats and just start, you know, reaching out to your friends and getting little groups together or find people online. Now it's so easy. You've all heard me. I live in Massachusetts and I've adopted Indiana, and it's crazy, but now, you know, I can't go knock on doors there, but I can do this podcast and money raising and essay writing and all of the things. So there's so much for people that they can do. So what's your next project in terms of research?
I mean, I'm committed to digging through this, and, you know, every 3 months we're going to get another FEC update, and there's going to be more to sort through. So if nothing else, I'm sticking with this all the way through till election day. I am still doing the podcast. I just did a great episode with Julie Chambers in Fishers. They are having a problem with Moms for Liberty.
Oh, yes, they are.
There. So, you know, I'm going to keep them in my sights as well. And any extremist group that comes into my state and threatens vulnerable Hoosiers, I'm looking at you.
Well, you hear that. And also you have kids, and teaching kids how to be civically engaged is one of the most important things you can do. As much as we put so much on this upcoming generation, you know, they're the ones who suffered so much with COVID, and so many of them are so vulnerable, but so many of them are so strong and resilient, and they definitely have different ideas about how the world should work than a lot of people our age and older. So try not to put it all on them, but...
Well, they're going to inherit this burning planet, and our generations have let them down. So those of us who recognize that need to join them and help set the kids up for success.
Completely agree. So the more that we can do, the more hope we can bring. And as I always say, kind of annoying at this point, hope is an action verb.
Yes. Hopelessness is not an option.
Exactly.
We have to be our own saviors. And Tom Hartman always says, tag, you're it. If you're listening to this, tag, you're it.
Well, thanks. So thank you for coming on. And I can't wait to talk to you next about your next research project.
Thanks for having me, Stephanie. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Over Fascism. And thank you to our editor, Benji Wilson. Please join our Patreon at patreon.com/freedomoverfascism. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please drop us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. We thank you for choosing freedom over fascism.